Now we come again to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. For those of you who are just listening in for the first time, we are studying Ephesians in the New Testament. We're in chapter 2, which deals with reconciliation. And we come now to the end of the chapter. May I again read from verses 19 to verse 22, where Paul says, "Now therefore, we Gentiles are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." In our preceding lessons, we've been dealing with the fact of what God is doing today. He is building a temple. The church constitutes the temple of God. In verse 20, we have its foundation. I'm just repeating these things. In verse 20, we have its foundation, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And you remember, this is spoken of in both the Old and the New Testament, that he himself is the chief cornerstone, the foundation stone, giving strength to all the building. All that we are, all that we hope for, is found in him. We rest in him. In verse 21, we have its structure. "And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord." May I remind you of 1 Peter chapter 2, we are living stones in the building. It's a wonderful thing to know that God takes every individual believer and he is fitted together in the temple of God. You have this in Ephesians chapter 4, and Colossians chapter 2, and other portions where it speaks of this fact that every believer has a special place. Each stone, if I can use the term here, each stone in its own place, fitted together in its place, all possessing the same life in Christ, the chief cornerstone. It's a marvelous thing to know that God chooses us, prepares us, and fits us for the temple. You remember one time in the Old Testament when Solomon was building his temple, that all the stones were cut, not on the temple grounds, but in the quarries. And each stone, as it was brought up from the quarry, fitted a special place in the temple. And this is what God is doing now. All individual believers, it's true, are now the temple of the Spirit of God. But collectively, we are also the temple of God. It'd be a wonderful thing to remember this, that each individual believer, his body has become the sanctuary of God. You remember 1 Corinthians 6:19. "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" This is true now of individual believers. Just like you have in Isaiah 66. "The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where will you build a house that I may find my rest? For all these things have my hands made, but to this man will I look." I tell you again, my Christian friend, it's a marvelous thing to know of the relationship and the union we have with the Son of God. I tell you, it was no simple thing when the Lord Jesus died to put away our sins. But the more marvelous thing was that you and I were identified with him in his death, burial, and resurrection, and exaltation. That each individual believer has a special place in the heart of God and a special place in the temple of God. So that when we come to the last verse, "in whom you also, all believers, are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Now, this is what God is doing. As Acts 15 says, God is visiting the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And here you have the finished building occupied. You remember in the Old Testament when the tabernacle was finished, the glory of God filled the tabernacle. When Solomon built his temple, the glory of God filled that temple. And when the church of Christ is completed, the glory of God will fill it too. an indestructible building of living stones. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Nothing can prevail against this purpose of God of gathering out a people, knitting them together in one body called the church. And now, that was chapter 1. Now chapter 2, we are his temple, we are a building, we are stones in the building, prepared, polished, fitted for a special place in the building. You know, I think we Christians have failed to realize the marvel of it all, that God today is doing something that was never known in past ages, will never be duplicated as far as I know in the ages to come. He's bringing out a people. You see, when God created man in the garden and gave him special responsibility, the man failed God. And it came to pass that the very thoughts and the imaginations of the heart of man was evil continually. Failure was everywhere. And God being righteous, judgment must take place. And the result was the flood came and destroyed that whole human race. Only 8 souls were saved, Noah and his family. Coming out of the ark, you have his sons. And the result was, not very long after the earth had been renovated, you have sin and rebellion coming in, until you come to the Tower of Babel. And idolatry now takes over. And so God judges the people at Babel, Babylon, the seat of idolatry. And he scattered them among the nations of the earth, upon the earth, and they became the nations. I'm quoting from chapters 10 and 11 of the book of Genesis. Then God let the nations go their own way, and he picked up Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and on down through we have the people of Israel. And he gave them his word, he sent them his prophets, he dwelt in the midst of them. The marvelous things that God did for Israel. And they failed until he was scattered among the nations of the earth. Now what will God do? As I've said before in this program, God is doing a new thing. He's taking men and women, individuals like you and me, and saving us, transforming us. And he's not only making us members of the body of Christ, and this speaks of life, but he's joined us together into what he calls a temple, a building, an habitation of God through the Spirit. A building that's completed, it's beautiful, it's perfect, it's glorious, it's complete. And when the church is complete, God is going to inhabit the presence of his people. God's going to be in the midst of us. And we, as the book of Revelation says, and we shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And as Revelation 21:3, it says, and God will be with men and dwell with them. But the church of Christ is going to be a special company through eternity. We're not going to be the only saints in heaven, the only saints in God's universe. Oh, no, God has different kinds of saints. The church is only one company of saints, one company of his people, but a special company, the temple of God. We are to be the habitation of God. Just as God indwells the believer now individually, God's going to indwell all believers collectively. And we are to be an habitation of God through eternity. What I'm trying to say to you this morning or today is this, that God today is gathering out a people for his name called the church. It's become a building. We are to be the ones in whom God will dwell through eternity. No wonder Paul, whoever the writer of Hebrews was, chapter 1, the last verse says, the very angels of God are sent forth to minister unto us who are the heirs of salvation. Even the very holy angels have been called to be the servants, the ministers of God's people in the church. Now it's true in the kingdom period when Christ returns, Israel will be the leading nation, but they're limited to the earth. But the Christian today, the man who's trusting Christ today, whether Jew or Gentile, as we've had in this second chapter of Ephesians, reconciled in one body by the cross, having access unto the Father, special members of a new race. We can cry, as Paul says in Romans 8, Abba, Father. Just the relationship of a child to his daddy. And here we are in a rather wonderful, peculiar place in the purpose of God. I say again, I wish in some way you and I could, by the Spirit of God, be gripped by this amazing fact that we not only have forgiveness, we not only have eternal life, we not only have all these wonderful things, but we've been brought in the purpose of God into a special, special relationship with God Himself. Something different to anything that's ever preceded us, and as far as I know, will not follow us. God's eternal people to be inhabitation of God through eternity. A perfect, complete, beautiful group called the church, the temple of God. My friend, do you belong to that? I am not surprised, as I read the rest of the book of the New Testament, I'm not surprised then that what God has purposed, He will surely perform. God is not playing at this business. God doesn't play with souls. He takes any man or woman, transforms them in Christ, brings them right to Himself, and not only gives them life, but joins us to Himself. To have a peculiar place in the purpose of God through eternity, the temple of God, a temple made of living stones, each one having a particular place in that temple. This is what God is doing, my friend. And this is what we have in the revelation of Paul in the book of Ephesians. Read it through, will you please, and the Lord bless you.